Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my heavens!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
Yes! It's caught for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Oh yeah, we're halfway there. Two preseason games in the books, and two more to go. Big draft week coming up. What you need to be is rotoexperts.com for your exclusive edge fantasy football package. Check out our completely updated projections in our 24/7 chat room. Enter the king at checkout for a special discount. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of rotoexperts.com. I am the king. I am fantasy. And I'll be with you here for the next hour. Roto Experts now from 7 to 8 every weekday. Dave Martinez will return tomorrow, followed by Fantasy Sports Today at 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern with Mike Blewett and Dane Martinez. And I am very fortunate to have the professional, the suave, the GQ, the Jack Buck. This is who Jack Buck learned from when you hear his broadcasting voice. My good friend Mike Blewett. Mike, how are you this morning,
buddy? What's going on, buddy? Excited to be here. Excited to kick off a new schedule with you. Despite the fact that Dane is out today, we'll be doing this every morning. You from 7 to 8 with Dane and me from 8 to 9 with Dane as well. So I'm looking forward to it. As you said, there's 2 weeks in the books. We do have a game, an outlier tonight in Colts-Ravens. So looking forward to watching a little bit of that, seeing if Andrew Luck can get out there. We got some, we got a nice taste of some starting QBs over this last weekend. So hopefully we get a little bit more tonight.
Yeah, lots to talk about. And, you know, I got an exciting week coming up. I got two drafts. Going to defend my Greenwich Street Tavern title on Saturday.
There's two leagues there, right, Scott?
Yeah, there's two leagues there.
I don't think I'm in yours.
Last year, I won League Two and the overall. Got my replica Lombardi trophy with me that I'll bring this Saturday. And show that off and be obnoxious because I deserve it. And don't forget, for those of you locally, on Friday night at Empire City Casino, you can join myself, Corey Parson, Joe Galina, and George Kurtz, and former NFL quarterback Chris Sims at the New York Daily News Fantasy Draft Party at Empire City Casino. You can draft. You can watch football with us, Q&A, panel discussions. It's going to be a very fun time. Check it out at newyorkdailynews.com/fantasydraftparty. That's nydailynews.com/fantasydraftparty. Always a party when I'm with Mike Blewett. And, Mike, let's start
Chris is a very good analyst in his own right, by the way, to pat him on the back. I always enjoy listening to him. And all his takes around the NFL.
If Mike Blewett says you're a good broadcaster, I think you take that as a big compliment. Yes.
Thanks, buddy. You're a great broadcaster. How about that? Kick off the show in a big positive way.
All right. He's also sometimes a liar. Okay. so let's start off with Josh Gordon. You know, I have him at number 15 at wide receiver in my ranks, which are updated on rotoexperts.com right now. In tears. Hugh Jackson is not giving off how much the league involvement is, but said that there's a shot that he'll be ready for week one. And then Roto Expert Slack channel saying, you know, do you expect Gordon to play all year? Look, sometimes you ask fantasy analysts questions that they just don't have an answer for. Nobody can predict if Josh Gordon is going to get in trouble again. But while he's in there, he's going to play like a wide receiver one. So I draft him like a high-end wide receiver two. And, you know, I'll have some depth behind him. That's all I can do.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair approach. In the Scott Fishbowl League, which is a league we talk about quite a bit here on the network, I took Josh Gordon as my second wide receiver. I took him pretty early. I knew that all the risk that came with it. I think he left camp. I don't say walked out because it has a negative connotation. But he left camp probably 2 days after I had drafted him in that slow draft. I assumed the risks, but in a league like that, where you're trying to basically beat 899 other people, you're going to have to take a few swings that you normally wouldn't take. I consider myself, like George Kurtz, whom I was on the air with yesterday, a relatively conservative drafter. But I had Adam Thielen in my back pocket, a guy that could catch a ton of passes. So I went over the top with Josh Gordon. And if he does net me, let's just say hypothetically 14 games, I think I'm going to be in business. But to your point, I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer about week one. We're just going to have to see how it plays out.
The other item of note over the weekend is Samaje Perine with an injury. The Redskins are finally go out and doing everything that everybody said they would. They had Jamaal Charles in for a visit yesterday. And reportedly, Adrian Peterson is going to be in town in Washington for a visit today, as they're looking to build some depth there, some quality depth. But I still believe that Rob Kelly is going to be the guy.
Yeah, and I can tell you I'm in a dynasty league where I've had a lot of success in that league, but seventh year in, I got some real running back problems, and I got offered Rob Kelly yesterday, but the price was astronomical for me to obtain him. So I think I'll tap the brakes and just assume that Rob Kelly could see a lot of those carries early on in the season, but I don't have any trust that he will be A, efficient, or B, hang on to that job, whether it's Adrian Peterson or Orleans Darkwa, or Jamaal Charles, or Samaje Perine coming back, because it looks like he avoided any significant injury. I can't trust that Rob Kelly is going to be some sort of workhorse back that'll carry me throughout the season.
I think he might be a good flex, though. They say he's trimmed down, that he's went from fat Rob to fit Rob, and he kind of looked at it, you know, when I see him in the...
Yeah, I have to clearly... With the injury to Geis, his value skyrocketed. But I'm not a huge fan of the Washington running game in the first place. I thought Geis made sense because of the sheer amount of touches he would see. But I didn't think he was going to be as efficient as some of these other quote-unquote workhorse running backs.
Nah, I don't think so. But, you know, this is an offensive line, I think, where guys have to create their own running room, and I think he does a better job of that than Samaje Perine, or probably Adrian Peterson, who's not very capable. Well, Adrian Peterson actually did show good vision last year. He just didn't run with the authority that he used to.
Yeah, and I think, look, the Arizona offensive line had holes last year. It continues to have them this year, but, you know, look, a guy like that, a guy as talented as that, I think it'll play out similar. It could play out, if he had the opportunity, it would play out similar to the way it did last year. We'll see one or two games where he sees some stuff, and then the consistency is what's harder to come by as he's 33 years old. I mean, there are guys that played this long. Frank Gore is playing. He's older than Adrian Peterson, and we saw Curtis Martin play well into his 30s, but... the reality is consistency becomes a much harder thing to see out of these veteran backs when they're north of 30.
Let's take a look at some of the very interesting performances from over the weekend that we can talk to about Friday. How about Taywan Taylor of the Tennessee Titans? 4 catches for 95 yards, 2 touchdowns, including a 47-yarder, which was basically on a bubble screen against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which they didn't tackle him at all downfield. Everybody's been talking about Corey Davis, etc., But, you know, Taywan Taylor was also drafted by the Titans last year. And now all of a sudden, you know, with a really good preseason, he's pushing himself back onto the fantasy radar. Do you think he at least has wide receiver four potential?
I think wide receiver four is about what you're looking at. I really like him. I drafted him in my dynasty league, that same dynasty league I was just talking about. He's on that team. So I would love for him to step up and become a real piece, because at the end of the, by the end of the year, you're using so many different players on a team like that where there's 45 guys on your roster. I need all different types of guys to produce, and they don't have to be superstars in order for them to be valuable. So, look, opposite Corey Davis, he's a much smaller wide receiver. To your point about him being able to break a bubble screen, he's got some speed. He's really built like a running back more than a wide receiver. But, yeah, I do like him there. We've seen, obviously, issues with Rishard Matthews being injured, and we've not really had anybody else on that team from a wide receiver standpoint step up. Tajay Sharp, Michael Campanaro are guys that are, you know, just kind of end of the roster guys.
Campanaro, that's
exactly.
For sure.
Yeah, so, look, right now you could see him as the number two if Matthews can't get healthy. The issue in the Titans offense, which I actually love this year, Scott, I think they're going to be a big breakout offense. I really like Mariota this year. I like both backs. But even somebody like Taywan Taylor, where could he realistically end up on as far as targets are concerned? He'd be a maximum probably of fourth, barring injury, because you have Davis in front of him along with Deion Lewis and Delanie Walker. So that's the cap on somebody like Taylor, but maybe wide receiver four is a perfect slot.
All right, some other notable performances here from over the weekend. Josh Allen, as AJ McCarron suffers a shoulder injury that could put him out an extensive period of time. Lots of negative talk from Josh Allen, not just from Patrick Ramsey coming out, but he's had a really good preseason. 9 of 13 for 60 yards and a touchdown, which he climbed the pocket near the goal line over the weekend. Josh Allen has looked really good, especially on deeper throws.
Yeah, look, and with the injury to A.J. McCarron, which is unfortunate for him, it looks like he's going to miss his one real shot at a starting job. It's become a two-man race, and Nate Peterman has actually played pretty well also. So it is going to be a team that's clearly, you know, the Bills are an interesting situation, because I think I was talking to George Kurtz yesterday, and he was saying the Bills could be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. Now, they made the playoffs last year, and I think they made a conscious decision to continue their rebuilding process, despite the fact that they had made the playoffs last year. So does that put you in a situation where you don't really care if Allen takes his lumps, he can just learn on the job? Or do you go with Nate Peterman because maybe he's been a little bit more efficient? As of right now, they're playing mostly, I mean, it's close to a dead heat.
Pretty much. I think, you know, watching the film that, you know, that Allen has shown more upside, and you know, why not give the rookie the chance to play? I know that the coaching staff likes Peterman, but yeah. I feel like he just doesn't offer anywhere near the upside of Allen. How do you feel about Allen in a 2QB league right now?
I guess I don't think the Bills' defense is that bad that he would get the opportunity to throw as much as some other bad teams might. Does that make sense? Like, Miami's defense could be pretty porous this year. So, yeah. Through hell or high water, Tannehill's probably going to put the ball in the air a lot. They'll be trailing a lot. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Bills are going to win a lot of games, but I don't necessarily think their defense is going to be so porous that they'll be in second-half shootouts. So, look, I think that's an opportunity there, but I think he's low-end QB2. I'd probably take him over a few guys, but that's low-end QB2. And you obviously have to really make sure that he's the starter come week one. But in a 2QB league, maybe you take him as your third and wait for that to happen.
Yeah, my dynasty league, I actually got him as a third-round pick in the rookie draft because it seemed like a lot of people were down on him coming into training camp. So I got a nice value there.
That's a very good value.
Yes. My first two picks were Nyheim Hines and Anthony Miller. Then I got Josh Allen and Jordan Wilkins in the last round. We had a four-round dynasty.
You're cornering the Colts running back market.
Yeah, I did. And I can grab one or two guys off of off waivers. You know, I like this.
I have an interesting question for you.
This rookie tight end from the Panthers. Why is his name escaping me for a minute? His fourth round pick.
Just give me a second. I will get it for you. It is Will Richardson.
No.
The fourth round. Oh, I'm sorry. That is wrong.
Yeah.
Ben Koyak, Severian Jenkins. From the Jaguars, did you say?
Yeah. Ian Thomas.
Got it.
Caught a touchdown this past week.
So there you go.
Yeah. So what's the question you had for you? By the way, before we go into your question real quick,
yes.
Vegas over-under on the Bills wins on mybookie.ag is 6. You go over or under?
Right now, I'll take it under. I got to look at the schedule game by game, but off the top of my head, I'll take it under. I think it's probably a 5-win team at best, but let's look at the schedule right now. We'll do it game by game, just so you have an idea.
By the way, I like Josh Allen as a DFS play when he faces. Miami's got a really good secondary. It depends on who the schedule is. He's on the schedule, whether I like him in a DFS or not.
We talked about, I think, I remember talking about this with Kevin Wallace, who I host the Saturday and Sunday programs with Fantasy Sports Today. So they have a tough schedule. So they start out at the Ravens, go 0-1. Then they host the Chargers, 0-2. At the Vikings, that could be 3. At the Packers, 4. Then they host the Titans, that could be 5 losses to start the season. Then they go to Houston and go to Indy. Could see some wins there, but then it's New England hosting Chicago at the Jets and into a bye week. Then it's Jaguars at Dolphins, Jets, Lions at Patriots, Dolphins again. So I'm looking, if I'm going through it, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3. Yeah, the most I can give them is 5 going through that game by game.
Get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit. It's a full-season package that takes you from draft day to championship week, and it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite FNTSY sports radio experts. Go to rotoexperts.com. Use code WINNER to get 10% off on the Exclusive Edge Package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy, which is a lot like my GST trophy. It's like a replica Lombardi. You'll see it this weekend.
I shall. I'll see it in all its glory.
Yeah. That's what you should do. You should bring your trophy to the draft and set it down on the table, right?
Yeah, might as well.
If you're doing an in-person draft. Why not?
Yeah.
Give everybody else something to shoot for.
That's right. And you're supposed to be having fun with it. So a little trash talk. A little,
I'm going
to
hear all cracks and, just
look,
consider
putting,
it all jealous.
You're putting a bullseye. Yeah, you're putting a bullseye on your back, but who cares?
You're going to be on it there anyway. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, the running back situations in Seattle and Minnesota. Have they taken a unique turn after this week's preseason action? We'll tell you next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto Experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their Exclusive Edge Fantasy Package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, promo code FNTSY.
Good morning. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Sirius, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, where we're serious about fantasy sports all the time. And Scott Engel and Mike Blewett and talking about some of the performances from over the weekend. Let's talk about a pair of running back outings here, though, 3 of them. Chris Carson, 8 carries for 34 yards from the Seahawks, but twice at the goal line, he was stuffed by the Chargers defense. He fumbled on back-to-back carries, losing the second one. Yeah, Chris Carson is going into the season as a starting running back. He's had a great camp. But if he can't get it in from the goal line, this is why the Seahawks have drafted Rashad Penny. And everybody's moving Carson up the boards. They're moving Penny down the boards. But I think when he can't get the ball in from the goal line, which was a problem for the Seahawks last year, they're going to look to Rashad Penny to do that. That's why they drafted him. So I think, to me, this is a sign that Carson's not going to run away with the job right here. You know, people could look at it and say, oh, it's just preseason, whatever. But you fumble twice on the goal line back-to-back, and you lose the second one. Penny is a guy that, you know, at least we believe that can punch the ball in there.
Yeah, it's like you're going through my entire dynasty roster. This is the one guy that I thought could be a saving grace for me at running back. But given what you just said, it's going to be hard for anybody to trust him, particularly the Seattle coaching staff. I mean, you know more about this team in the fantasy world than anybody I know. So what is your take about what it's going to look like come week one, where Penny slots in versus Carson and Procise and whomever else?
Well, week one, Penny might not be there. Right. And, of course, Procise may not be there either because the guy always gets hurt.
Yep.
So, to me, when they're both there, I think it's a timeshare until Penny becomes the lead back, and then I say he probably gets 65% of the carries at some point.
Yeah, so, you know, that to me paints a picture of Carson that isn't particularly great. Like how, you know, you're only moving him up draft boards for a very temporary return, right? We all know that once Penny's good to go, as you said, 65% of the carries could be more, especially if he performs well. So that's the problem with moving Carson too far up your draft boards. You're basically taking a guy that you hope he performs well at the onset, but you would even concede, even the most positive Chris Carson person would concede, that at some point the job isn't his. It would have to go really badly for Penny and really well for Carson for that to even be a consideration.
And then there's the other one, with Dalvin Cook. There were reports last week that Latavius Murray was going to be in a timeshare with him. And Murray's run well for most of the preseason. Had a much better opener than he did last week, but he fumbled twice and lost one over the weekend against Dallas. What kind of role do you see Latavius Murray playing in this backfield?
That's a good one. I like this question because we actually talked about this yesterday. I did with George Kurtz. And my problem with the Dalvin Cook love, and I do have a little bit of an issue with it. I'm not suggesting he isn't very talented, but he isn't quite a year off of ACL surgery, right? So there are, and he does have Latavius Murray as somebody to lean on. So for me to assume that going into week one, that Dalvin Cook is the man and he is going to start ripping off games like he's an RB1, is a little bit of a fool's errand. Now, if you sit here and tell me that you're justified by saying, look, he's not going to be great for September, maybe even part of October, but come playoff time, Dalvin Cook is my ace in the hole, then that makes more sense to me. But I do think, especially early, Latavius Murray has a real role in this offense. Timeshare, can I pick the percentages? No. But would it shock you that for the month of September, as Cook tries to get back to near 100%, that this is a 50-50 or close to it? Would that shock you, Scott?
I think it's going to be more like a 70-30, personally.
To start, like week one, you think it'll be that heavy?
Oh, but I thought you meant the amount of carries. I think starting week one, I think it's like 80-20 Dalvin Cook. They're keeping him in bubble wrap right now.
Yeah, no, here's what I'm saying. Let me rephrase the question. They're both playing week one.
Yeah.
What do you think the carries, what do you think the touches would look like? Do you think that's 70-30 in favor of Cook?
I would say 65-35.
Yeah, so close, around that. Yeah, look.
Or 60-40 I'm more comfortable with.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think it could be like a 60-40 to start it out. Like, why would you run why would you take advantage of Cook early? This team has huge aspirations. They have one singular aspiration this year, right? They are trying to win the Super Bowl. You don't go out and pay $84 million and re-up a couple of other guys and have all of this talent on defense and not have your eyes on the prize. Keeping the eyes on the prize doesn't mean Dalvin Cook should be a workhorse back for the month of September when the guy has an ACL injury 11 months ago. So I do think Murray has a lot of value early in the season, and I think it depresses Cook's value early in the season. The reason you're drafting him as an RB1 is because you understand that he could be your guy come playoff time, but don't expect him to be as productive as, say, a Fournette or even a McCaffrey. Guys are being drafted around him early in the season. I don't expect that.
The over-under for regular season wins on mybookie.ag for the Vikings is 10. I think I'm going the over on that.
Yeah. The one caveat to that, I suppose, excuse me, is the fact that they are in a tough division. Obviously, they're going up against Aaron Rodgers.
They make the division tough. Look, I don't mean to interrupt you, but people always talk about, oh, they have a tough schedule. They're in a tough division. If you're, you know, like people say that about the Eagles, they have a tough schedule. You know, if the Eagles are on your schedule in your division, then you have something tough to deal with.
I totally agree. And I would pick them right now to win the division. But I could pluck two other teams out of there that are playoff teams. Some people think the Bears are on the rise as well. I'm softer on the Bears than I'd say the community at large, but it doesn't mean that they haven't improved. You know, we're looking at, they start with the Niners, then they go to Green Bay, Buffalo, at LA, at Philly. That's kind of tough. You got four potential playoff teams in their first five. Then it eases up Arizona at the Jets. They host New Orleans, host Detroit, at Chicago, Green Bay, at New England, at Seattle, Miami, at Detroit, Chicago. It's not an easy schedule, but look, I have them better than a lot of those teams. So if the over-under is a flat 10, I'll probably put them at 11. But that being said, there might be better bets on the board.
When we talk so much about schedule, though, we base a lot of that on the last year. We're really not going to know a lot of the trends that, and that's dangerous. Like when people do fantasy schedule analysis and then they talk about playoff weeks from week 14 to 16, so much is going to change by week four. You know, it's really hard to judge.
I very rarely go when I'm doing drafts or draft strategies. It could be a tiebreaker if I'm looking at somebody's week 14 to week 16 schedule, maybe. But as you said, way too much changes between now and then. So I don't base drafting strategies on what did this guy's playoff run look like. Now, there could be, and I heard this note on another podcast, there is, like when you're ranking Tom Brady, the guy's amazing, right? He just produces every year, and he was out there the other night just brilliant in the Thursday night game against the Eagles. But he has been a very highly ranked quarterback in weeks like 1 through 12 and 13 for the last several years. But there has been, whether it's because they've been way out in front of the division or because he is 40 years old, a little bit of a drop-off in the playoff weeks for Brady. His Decembers have not been as productive fantasy-wise over the last several seasons. So maybe that makes him number two or number three for you when you're ranking your quarterbacks. That kind of stuff can come into play. But to your point, looking down the road and being like, well, Cousins is going to play at Seattle, Miami, and at Detroit. I don't know if I love the two road games. I'm going to drop them. That's a bit much to do.
What's wrong with going to Miami? They look terrible this year.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Seattle, we're not sure. You know, Detroit, you're not sure, but I think they're okay defensively.
Right. So that could actually be. So maybe you could conceivably, if you're analyzing in that way, bump up a spot because you like that. I'm just saying, don't do that. It's a little it's a little bit too much to be looking at schedules 4 months from now and saying, I like him better because of this. We don't know what that team's going to look like. Maybe Seattle's defense, all these young guys come together. maybe Miami doesn't suck as much as we think they're going to, and maybe Detroit, Matt Patricia, has them playing better than they've played defensively in years. Maybe.
All right, Tampa Bay. Peyton Barber still starting, had a nice run on Saturday. Ronald Jones, 4 carries for 2 yards. Right now, Peyton Barber is the clear starter, but I still feel like at some point Ronald Jones is just too talented to not emerge, at least in a timeshare, before where people are drafting him. You know, right now the performance isn't there.
He's got more carries than yards in the preseason. That's through 2 games. That's not a good stat. And I feel like you are breaking down my dynasty team. He was my first-round draft pick this year. I had, like, the 8th pick. I went all running backs, 8 in a row. So I really need him to step up because I got Mark Ingram suspended. Not a good look right now. I don't know that I was a big believer in this running game, no matter who's carrying the ball this year at all. With Fitz in there, it doesn't look like he's connecting with Evans and others to start it out. This offense could be pretty rough to start the season. To your point, I think Barber's got the job right now. Why would they? I mean, at some point, you're right. They're going to want to try out the rookie, but if he's not performing at all and Barber is getting it done, I see no reason why the Bucs wouldn't start Barber and use Jones in a supplemental capacity to at least start the season.
I had an interesting offer in a dynasty league over the weekend, but me, because at my dynasty league, I have Nyheim Hines as my second running back, you know, with Devontae Booker also next to Alvin Kamara. And, you know, there's a guy who's loaded with running backs, and he offered me Ronald Jones and Gerald Everett for O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin. I just couldn't pull the trigger on that because I feel like O.J. Howard has the potential to be a top 5 fantasy tight end at some point. And every other counter offer I came back with, he rejected.
Yeah, people are trying to look. It gets to the time of year where people want to maybe extract a little value out of a panicky owner, but you are not that owner, and I'm not that owner. So I'm not giving up first round picks for Rob Kelly, and I think you should hang on to the guy that you value as a potential top 5 tight end, especially in a dynasty league where those guys are not easy to come by. That's the one position I'm good in my dynasty league, and I'm going to keep it that way. I'm not trading out of a strength because, to your point, guys are always going down.
Yeah, and yeah, it's like I want Jones. It's a good time to buy low on him, but I can't give up both of those guys. Look at the Browns' backfield. Carlos Hyde, six carries for 64 yards and a touchdown. The announcers at half, you know, around the half are saying that that, you know, Hyde is the guy, but then Bradley Chubb comes in and you know, rushes for a touchdown in the second half with some yardage. You know, where is this backfield going? Do we have any idea?
So I had Gary Davenport, who's you can find on Bleacher Report. I think he's at IDP Sharks on Twitter. He writes for Bleacher Report. He writes for Fantasy Sharks. He does a really great job. He's an Ohio native and a Browns fan. We had him on a couple of weeks ago talking about IDPs and the Browns in general. And here's the problem with the Browns' backfield. We talk a lot about running backs by committee. And the problem with this one is that it could very well be a committee. We know what Duke Johnson's role is. It's going to be pass catching. You supplement with some carries, but he's going to be the pass catcher. But the real problem for me with the Hyde-Nick Chubb situation is that I think it could be a situation where they're not necessarily even sharing the ball to start the season. But Hyde could have the job or the majority of the carries. And then if he falters a little bit, then Chubb comes in, and he's seeing the majority of the carries. The problem there is that the guy, this is going to be a running back by committee, but based on how the season and how the wind blows and how the season goes, not necessarily that these guys are going to see 10 carries each for the next 8 weeks. That's the problem. I'm higher on Hyde than most, so I think I've already got him in Scott Fishbowl, and I've looked to target him, but I am doing it with the understanding that this could be a 4 to 6 week thing with Carlos Hyde, and then he'll lose value as the season goes on. Does that make sense?
I could see it, yeah, like, you know, the veteran, sort of the incumbent.
Yeah. People are down on Carlos Hyde. I think he's a better running back than people are giving him credit for. I understand that he lacks efficiency with regarding certain statistics, but I still think he's a good runner. And if this offensive line gets it done, with Tyrod Taylor controlling the ball, like the Browns do have a recipe on paper for some offensive success.
They do. Well, the over-under is 6 on mybookie.ag Vegas odds for wins. I think I'm going over.
Man, it's just tough. That is a really big leap. I mean, that's a 7-win improvement. I understand how disastrous they were last year, but I still don't have a lot of faith in the coaching staff. I'm really struggling.
Yeah, I think they can be about a 500 ball club this year.
Well, that's good. I mean, that would be a massive improvement.
Yeah.
It's 5.5 I'm looking at mybookie.ag. So you got to get them to 6. I think I did this before. I had them around 5. So I could be swayed into saying 6. I just don't know if I'm going to feel comfortable with the bet either way. But the over is a pretty expensive bet right now. It's at minus 155. It's one of the more expensive overs right now. So you have to pay a little bit to get that over. The value is really in the under if you feel like rooting for them to lose a whole bunch more games.
DailyRoto.com has put more than $25,000 on the line for subscribers this NFL season entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have the chance to win big this year along Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won 2 separate $1 million prizes. Each week we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week? No worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. Head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in the action and get your share of $25,000 in action. That's dailyroto.com/sweat. More sweating from the preseason coming up next. We'll check in on Jameis Winston and Pat Mahomes. It's all coming up here on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Engel and Mike Blewett. BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payments of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round if you're willing to adhere to rollover requirements. For instance, for a limited time, using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $2,500 on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. All right, Pat Mahomes, 8 for 12, 138 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, almost had a second pass intercepted. He's been very erratic, but he also did his 69-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. I think Holmes is what I say this preseason, what we've been seeing all along. He's the kind of guy in 1 week where he can throw for 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. But there's going to be games where he plays against really good teams, possibly, and he could have 1 touchdown and 4 interceptions.
Completely agree. I think that summarizes my thoughts on him very succinctly. So that's why I think it baffles me a little bit that people have been as high on him as they've been all along. Now, we're seeing it soften a little bit. I'm looking at your rankings right now. You have them after outside of the top four tiers. So where do you have them? Right around 15 or
15
so?
15 on rotoexperts.com. Yeah. Check out my updated ranks, an exclusive Edge package, and you can enter promo code THEKING at checkout for a special discount.
So that's where I feel really comfortable about him. If you're in a Q2 QB league and you've locked up, say, a hypothetical, you have Cam Newton at 7. You got Cam Newton in there at 7. You feel like you have a pretty good floor because, frankly, that's what Cam is good for. You could have the explosive nature of Cam, but with the rushing yards and some of the rushing touchdowns, you get a pretty good floor out of Cam Newton. Then you could add somebody like Pat Mahomes. And if you get great Pat Mahomes on a given week, you're probably going to win that week. You get bad Pat Mahomes, you still have a little bit of a floor with Cam Newton there. And you know, I'm just using Cam as an example. It could be somebody else. But reality is that's where I have him. I don't think he's going to be consistent, but he's an explosive guy, and they have explosive weapons. I mean, you can't deny the Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce trio won't be explosive.
Yeah, it's
and even mentioned their running back.
I don't trust Sammy Watkins. I've been on record as saying that. Jameis Winston with a good preseason game, 13 of 18, 226 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. On that touchdown, though, the broadcasters were saying that this is what they're trying to unteach Winston because he was falling to the ground and flung it up and got lucky with Chris Godwin catching it for a touchdown. It's a pivotal year for Winston. He's got a gunslinger mentality. I don't trust him to be more than a QB2.
I don't either. I agree with everything you said.
What he said.
It is a pivotal year for him. I think that I'm not a big believer in the offense. I think the Bucs could really struggle this year. I think Dirk Cutter's on the hot seat. I thought they already should have made a change, but it seems like the GM, coach, and quarterback are all tied together pretty tight, so that's why they didn't make a change. I don't have a lot of faith in this offense overall. We talked about the running back scenario. I think it depresses the value of guys like Mike Evans and even that tight end duo of O.J. Howard, who you obviously like long-term, and even Cameron Brate, who has been a valuable tight end to some extent throughout these last couple of seasons. So I'm with you. I think Jameis is a QB2. I can't envision a scenario where he makes it into QB1 by the end of the year, unless the Bucs were so bad defensively that he had to end up getting in shootouts. But he's careless with the ball. He just is. And to your point about him throwing it up in the air for a touchdown, like, he still does that stuff a lot. It's his fourth season. So you figure he would have learned it by now.
All right, some other performances to take a look at here. I really like Austin Hooper. I know everybody talks about Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley had a really good preseason game. But with those two guys drawing so much defensive attention, Hooper, two catches for 33 yards and a touchdown. Julio Jones did not play in that game. But still, I like this guy to take another step forward and threaten to be a tight end one.
I kind of like that, too. My approach on tight ends is really conservative. It has been for the last couple of seasons because the reality is, Scott, this position every year is kind of a mess. It just is. People are really trying to figure out how they're going to get value out of Trey Burton or George Kittle or all these other guys. Or conversely, they're climbing over themselves to draft Evan Ingram or whomever else is the hot tight end going into the season. But I usually just kind of sit back, let everybody else pick some tight ends. If there's a value on somebody like Jimmy Graham and he's falling, I'm going to take a stab at him. But most of the time, I'm going to be one of the last ones drafting the tight end. So I could see myself having a bunch of shares of Jack Doyle and George Kittle this year, for example. The 11th and 12th tight ends in, I'm looking at George's rankings at the moment, but in PPR rankings. And Austin Hooper, who you have
George
probably,
Kurtz, yes.
Yeah, who you have probably, where do you have Hooper?
Have Hooper around 15th, yes.
Yes, yeah, so like I'm okay with waiting around in your draft and taking Austin Hooper, because this could be a really productive offense. I know, like you said, people, we already know about Julio. We know about the two running backs. But this is still a rookie wide receiver in Calvin Ridley. Mohamed Sanu, he has games, and then he disappears. So Austin Hooper, I think they need to be a more well-rounded part of the offense. They had that with Tony Gonzalez, and I think they've been striving to find a tight end option for Matt Ryan for these last several years. They want it to be Hooper. I could see him being integrated into the offense more. Doesn't mean he's a superstar, but it does mean he has tight end one potential for this season.
Yeah, I agree with that. Theo Riddick with a 42-yard reception catch and run this past week, but how much is he really going to figure in now with LeGarrette Blount and the rookie carry on my wayward son Johnson in there? Because Johnson might catch some passes himself.
Yeah, so to be honest, Riddick is really the only guy that I even want for this season. I understand what you're saying, that maybe he there won't be all that much there for him, or there'll be less for him there. But I do think that he's the one guy I want. Look, this team last year was dead last in the league as a rushing attack. I think it was 3.4 yards per carry. It was last in the league. And now it's a true running back by committee. You're going to have Blount taking up the touchdowns, and you're not sure exactly how many touches he'll see. You have Ameer Abdullah, who's on his way out. You have Kerryon Johnson, who's on his way in and will be part of this committee. And then you have Riddick catching passes. They obviously are going to try to continue to there's nowhere to go but up. But I still don't think it's a rushing attack I want to bank on. I think if I get Riddick at some sort of value, I can use him as a flex option. But you make a compelling point that they may want other guys catching passes and not just Riddick. But I do think he still sees a significant amount of throws this year.
Yeah, I think he's been on the decline since 2015, and I look for that to continue this year. Christian Kirk, four catches for 49 yards and a touchdown. Published reports indicating now that he's about to slip into that starting role. Here's a guy that so far seems to be living up to the hype.
Yeah. Look, rookie wide receivers for me, year over year, there's not a lot of guys that are productive in their rookie seasons. You can point to Juju Smith-Schuster and other guys that had big rookie seasons, Odell Beckham and others in the last several years. But by and large, they aren't all that productive, especially on a team with a questionable offensive line, a quarterback situation that we think we'll see a minimum of two quarterbacks. How many catches are we really looking at for Christian Kirk this year? 50?
I'd say more than that.
Okay. So he's opposite Fitz. Fitz is going to see a ton of targets, obviously. And
you got Jones in there and David Johnson.
Yeah. So you say Kirk is third in targets, right? Would you put him behind Fitz and David Johnson?
I put him behind Fitz and David Johnson.
Okay.
I think Ricky Seals-Jones is going to be that. Their touches, their red zone guy.
Yeah. So, on a team like that, third in targets, I just don't know how many catches that will really mean for him. So, I'll say 50. I'll give him 50. Call it 650 yards. I'll give him four touchdowns. I mean, think about where those numbers slot in. It's not all that great. Doesn't mean he can't be on your roster. It just doesn't mean to me that it's going to be a off-the-charts kind of rookie season like we saw with Smith-Schuster, who slotted into a very high-octane offense and beat out a guy like Martavis Bryant. I just don't think there's that many targets there for him to be that productive. I like the player. I just don't love the offense and where he could end up. So I'll call him third in catches on that team. I'll say somewhere 50 to 55, but it doesn't make him all that valuable to me.
Okay. Taquan Smith, another rookie who's been less heralded. I've talked about him, though.
You love
three
this
guy. Three catches for 60 yards, and already we're seeing Cameron Meredith like battle invisibility, injury issues. What do you think?
I think of your deep sleeper calls, this is a pretty interesting one because Cam Meredith is coming back from a very serious injury, and they are looking for someone to snag that number two wide receiver job. Ted Ginn, I think you know what you're going to get out of Ted Ginn, but you can basically get you can basically get Traquan Smith for free. So that's a nice flyer in a deeper league, or if you wanted to take a shot in your standard setups, it's a 16th round pick and nobody else will be looking at it. So I think it's an interesting call, and there's a path for him to play and see a lot of targets.
All right, moving along to some other highlighted performances. How about Jerron Brown? This is a guy that I love too, because you watch the film of when he played with the Cardinals, he was always getting open, but the quarterbacks were just not hitting him in stride. Two catches for 74 yards on the weekend.
Yeah, it's like you're hitting up my whole dynasty roster. He's another guy that I've hung on to. Keep in mind, this is a really deep league. It's 45-man roster, so you when you get guys that have any fantasy value, you just hang on to them. You don't cut them loose because the waiver wire is a barren wasteland. So, Jerron Brown, Doug Baldwin banged up. Tyler Lockett here is in year four. We know what he's been basically for the last few years. So,
if he can stay healthy, yeah.
Right. But you could see Jerron Brown maybe being Russell Wilson's explosive outlet, right? He could be his deep shot taker. Certainly over guys that he's battling with, like Amara Darbo and others, you can see a path for Jerron Brown to be that. I think he's more your interesting DFS play guy than maybe somebody you can rely on in your regular leagues, your redraft leagues. But, you know, a name to keep an eye on, especially with Doug Baldwin banged up.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he can take over the Paul Richardson role, and he's even more explosive. TJ Yeldon, 5 catches for 73 yards and 39 rush yards. We know Leonard Fournette is the guy in Jacksonville, but this is somebody we're forgetting about as a PPR back.
I think we are in that. I was looking up his value yesterday. We talked about him yesterday. I was looking up his value, and he's got virtually none in drafts, and I think that is a mistake. Now, he's not a true handcuff to Fournette. If, say, Fournette goes out with an ankle and he's out for 3 weeks, hypothetical, he's not going to take on that role. You'd have Corey Grant in there. They'd be sharing. But I do think that people are dismissing him completely because of Fournette's role and status, and that he's a first-round pick. But Yeldon is a guy who will still see some catches and will still see some touches. Look, they've utilized him in the past when Fournette's been on the field. It isn't a steal. Like, the Steelers scenario is very much who's ever in there is getting 90% of the touches, right? It was Le'Veon Bell. When Le'Veon Bell was out for those couple of seasons, it was D'Angelo Williams. You could slot him right in. And now it's James Conner. And James Conner doesn't really see much. What does he see? 4 touches a week, maybe? This isn't that. They still utilize Yeldon in some way. And I do think, yeah, he's an RB5. I think he's draftable. And right now, he's barely getting drafted.
All right. Moving along, some other interesting performances here. How about Marquise Goodwin with 3 catches for 61 yards and a 40-yarder? I think it's important to note that he has become Jerry Garofalo's BFF. Some people crowing about Pierre Garçon.
So my only issue with Goodwin, and like you look at some projections that people have for him, could be a 1,000-yard season, half a dozen touchdowns. That'd be great. My only issue with Goodwin during this preseason is that his draft value started getting to the point where it worried me. And I think expectations are extremely high for a guy that hasn't really done it for that long in the NFL. But the way Garoppolo's playing, it's starting to be the sky is the limit for this passing offense. But it's, you know, we're still looking at preseason games and games when they were basically out of it with no pressure last year. I think it needs to be mindful. People need to be mindful of that. But if I wanted to pump you up on Goodwin's value, yeah, he's got a quarterback that's playing really well, appears to be everything that the Niners needed, and Pierre Garçon is coming back from a neck injury. But it's just, to me, so far in this draft season, that Goodwin's value has been a little bit too high for me.
All right, thanks for listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Engel and Mike Blewett. Dane Martinez will return tomorrow. And he'll also be on Fantasy Sports Today starting tomorrow. But I get the bonus of hanging out with Mike Blewett for another hour on Fantasy Sports Today. Next, we'll flip roles. He'll be the host. I'll be the analyst.